Well, good morning. I greet you in the name of our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus Christ. The psalmist writes in Psalm 122, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And there's always something special about this weekend. I did agree with Brian when he shared in the opening that it would be nice to just have church here every Sunday because we read each other so well. And obviously, we would probably become lazy and complacent. And I guess for my introduction, back in September when Daryl Musser had asked me to share here today, I immediately tried to think of an excuse not to. But God revealed to me that it is not about me, but what he has done for us and for his honor and his glory. So if I can't accomplish one thing this morning, it's about bringing him honor, for he is worthy. I was also highly moved yesterday when the siblings shared. I wish my sons could have been here. I have two grown sons, and our handicapped son, who is Lee, is the youngest of the boys. So our two oldest children had somewhat of a period in their life when we didn't have a handicapped child in our life. But they were only like 6 and 3 years old when Lee was born. And I know we had talked to them about it, you know, how it affected their lives. And their answer was, I think I heard it yesterday too, that, well, they don't really remember anything different. It was always just a part of their life. But it was also revealed to me that these siblings make sacrifices, and we all sacrifice. And that's real and difficult. And I feel now, as parents, you know, we're trying to make this up to them and basically do everything for them. And I'm beginning to wonder if we overcorrected a little bit because you see the results of it. You almost do too much for your children. And those were just the thoughts I had being here yesterday. So... this morning, I'm actually going to do a pretty big deep dive into our story because I never really shared our story. And it's my first time doing this, so it's a little bit of a stretch. I'm going to pull a lot of my material out of Psalm 78 because that's where the title comes from. And I will pull a verse from there here and then. And if you get tired of listening to me, you can start reading whenever. I do that occasionally, unfortunately. Okay, I'm going to start in with our story and how it all started. And this is just a quick introduction of who we are for those of you who don't know us. Ruth and I got married in the spring of 2001. Both of us came from non-special needs families. So if we attend family reunions today, we are the only ones pushing a wheelchair. Never in our minds did we prepare or think about having a special needs child when we started on this journey called life. Our first two children were also boys born healthy and full-term pregnancies. When our third son, Lee, was born, nothing seemed suspicious at birth except for a delay of a healthy cry right after birth. And I forgot to add one thing. The reason, I'll come back to my story here, the reason our two oldest children weren't here yesterday, Tristan, who's 22, is serving over in Germany through the I-58 program, and I think he's having a great experience over there. And then second of the boys, Adam, had a wedding, and that's why we get this from this weekend. I guess we can always get him to listen to it later in life. Anyway, coming back to my story. Although he had a healthy cry 20 seconds later than usual, we took our son home thinking our life was all intact. And this is where our story takes a drastic shift. I know it's often said that we get no manual or crash course before we leave the hospital. And that is true. I guess this is where pure faith is put into action. And yeah, just to... paraphrase a little bit, when you're walking on this journey called life and you don't prepare for something, it knocks you off your feet and it takes you totally by surprise. And obviously that's where we were at in our life. Things were just moving along real smoothly. We had a good marriage. We had a healthy family. I had a steady job. I was thankful for everything we had. And I thought, you know, this is living life. But God had other plans for us too. The song "He Leadeth Me" comes to mind, especially in the third verse where the words go like this. Lord, I clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur, nor repine. Content whatever lot I see, 'tis my God that leadeth me. Of course, he leadeth me. He leadeth me by his own hand. He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. I'm not sure if I'm even worthy to actually sing that verse. I know when I read over that verse, that there's something there about it. Nor ever murmur, nor repine. I think I've failed at that in life at times. I don't know how many of us know the definition for the word repine. It is an older English word we seldom use anymore, but here it is according to the dictionary. Discontent, often feeling or expressing an unhappiness, often with a sense of brooding or sadness. So I guess that's where I came up with my title for this weekend. Can God Furnish a Table in the Wilderness, from Psalms 78:19. And unfortunately, when we face these storms in life, I think we may not murmur out loud or be discontent verbally, but there is times where we struggle to be content in the state that we're in. Yeah, and of course, Psalm 78:19, verse 19, I'm going to take a little bit different angle at it because it starts out, and they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. That's verse 18. 19, yea, they spake against God and said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? They actually challenge God, where I think for us as parents, oftentimes it's a plea or a cry. Not that we should tempt God, but to trust in his sufficiency in the wilderness of being parents to a special needs child. Psalm 78:22, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. I guess if we don't trust in God, that is a sin. And at times, it is hard to lean into that trust, even though we're called to do it in the most severe, difficult circumstances. Psalms 95:8 reads, harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Not hardening our thoughts. I guess I'm going to share a little bit of a story here. A couple weeks ago, I was sitting in church, and it's kind of, well, you know, what do we do with intrusive thoughts? Because I was in a perfect state of mind there, and we still practice segregated seating in our church, and there was an empty bench in front of me, and this father come in with his four children, or five, whatever it was, and sat down in front of me. They were all healthy, happy. And for the life of me, why did my mind start spinning? And I'm like, that's exactly what I wanted in life, but I have a different lot. And you would think after being on this journey for 17 years, almost 17 years, I wouldn't have those thoughts. But the reality of it is, they can show up at any given moment, and then your mind has to process. You got a choice to make. What is my reaction going to be to this? And yeah, it's real. It happens. And obviously I had a choice to make there, how I was going to deal with it or accept my lot in life. I suppose I should circle back to our story a little bit. At about 6 weeks of age, I noticed that when I came home from work and played with Lee, that he wasn't making direct eye contact with me when I tried to get him to smile or giggle. And that was the start to doctors and hospital visits for years to come. I remember stepping into the clinic for special children's office at about 6 months of age and meeting with Dr. Strauss for his first time. And he was very optimistic that it could just be some sort of deficiency. And I thought, how sweet, we'll just get this thing straightened out and go back to living our lives. But as fate would have it, we just weren't getting anywhere at the time, as time went on. And then when Dr. Strauss ordered an EEG and an MRI, the doctors didn't get a full MRI scan done on Lee because he quit breathing during the procedure. Doctors felt they had enough information to piece together enough to make a determination of the situation. Scan revealed his brain was underdeveloped and he was going to face challenges throughout his life. No diagnosis. Doc told us he needs food, a roof over his head, and lots of love. Felt like an insult to every fiber of my body. No cure. Your life will never be the same. Have a nice day. And I think that was probably one of the darkest days of my life. If I remember correctly, the next 6 months or so were just like an open wound. Emotions were just raw and fragile to pain. Acceptance did not come easy. I guess that is when our faith in God really started setting some serious roots, and I was in a wilderness and dying of thirst. The Bible verse 2 Corinthians 12:9 started showing up on the walls of our home and etched in our hearts. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And that is a dear verse to us at home. You know, it tells us is made perfect in weakness. I guess, do we really believe that? It's hard to when things don't go well, or when things don't go the way we think they should. I know many days it didn't feel anything close to perfect. The rest of Corinthians 12:9, most gladly will I rather glory in my infirmities than the power of Christ might rest upon me. So there's the key takeaway, I guess. And I know we all know that, sitting here this morning, that you know, even though our lives are difficult, there's a ministry here, and it impacts people in a way that I don't think we can even imagine. We touch people's lives. It changes people's lives. And it's not for our glory, even though it's an infirmity to us. And it's a real eye-opener at times as to how many people it does impact, and not necessarily just our families. Okay. You know, we as humans value comfort, but God values our character above our comfort. And the people we reach and touch with these children, yeah, I've made that clear. You know, we tend to lean towards comfort. It's just our human nature. I know being here this weekend, you know, it's nice. Our our boarding is taken care of, our food's taken care of, we can fellowship freely, our responsibilities, our children are cared for, and it just makes a pleasant atmosphere, and it would be easy to get used to, I guess is what I'm saying, but I don't think it would be in a spiritual advantage in the long term. We started attending Penn Valley Retreat right around 2011. Lee was 3 years old the first time we came here, met a lot of new people the first time here, didn't really know anyone except the people that we came with, wasn't sure if I liked the place or not. Everyone was welcoming and friendly. And I know there's probably some first-time parents here today, and maybe you didn't have that reaction, but yeah, it was nice, and it was a beautiful place, but in the back of my mind, I was having my doubts. I seen these teenage adult children, and I had a 3-year-old son, and I thought to myself, man, I don't think I'm cut out for this. But here I am, 14 years later. God is good. Then in the April of 2019, Lee's pupil in his right eye was dilated. I'm jumping ahead a number of years. I omitted a lot of details just for the sake of time. I noticed it after coming home from church. He was sitting in his chair. We took him to the local ER, but got very little results. Long story short, needed emergency surgery to repair torn retina in both eyes. Except right eye was too far gone, could only repair retina in left eye. And that was another valley that we unexpectedly entered. Tricky part about the surgery, Lee was not allowed to rub his eye at all after surgery. Ruth would sleep on the couch downstairs in case Lee would wake up at night. Another test of faith. Wasn't sure why we were walking down this road. 2 Corinthians 5:7 reads, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." That's also a crucial verse for all of us here. I know we all have different stories, and that's the unique thing about coming here. But that verse, I think, encapsulates everything, even though we don't quite understand the details of it all. We understand the journey or the goal. And of course, how could any of us forget the year 2020? That spring and summer, Lee was in and out of the hospital so often, had to mask up every time we entered the hospital. Lee was having GI issues, constant esophageal bleeds, ended up putting feeding tube in the month of June 2020. And that was another thing. When we started on this journey, he always had difficulty eating. And my wife and I vowed the doctor would bring up the subject from time to time. He may have to put a feeding tube in him eventually. But we were pretty adamant about it. We decided we weren't going to go that route unless we absolutely had to. And then when it came down to it, we had to surrender to that decision as well. Not that we were being bullheaded, but it was just the fact of life that things were supposedly going to be easier with the tube, even though it seemed like we were amplifying his handicappedness because he did like to eat and could eat. It was just the fact that he wasn't getting the nutrition that he actually needed. Though, thought our problems were going to subside, only to see Lee's health deteriorate before our eyes. Then in October of 2020, we drove to Children's Hospital Philadelphia through the ER system to figure out what our options were. His medical diagnosis was failure to thrive. He was slowly losing weight every month, and we just couldn't seem to reverse the downhill spiral. So CHOP admitted him for observation. Ruth stayed at the hospital for 3 weeks straight, while I went home and managed the farm between 3-hour drives to the hospital on the weekends. So yeah, there again, that was a difficult time in our lives. And you obviously see a occupation shift there. I worked construction for, I think it was 20 years, carpentry. And I get calls at work. Sometimes I had to rush home. And I thought, well, this is gonna be easier, being at home more, being able to assist her. And at times it is, but it still has its own difficulties, I would say. With Lee getting older, I'm not sure. You start thinking about these things with him getting bigger and us getting older. And it's always going to be a challenge. It's not something that just evaporates. And I guess we tend to think that it might. But as I get older, I see the responsibility carrying on. Here again, the wilderness scene was playing out, but God gives us strength for the hour. Then in January of 2021, he had corrective surgery done to move feeding tube location down and to have a partial anastomosis done to keep the stomach acids down from where they belong, which is common for children with the Coffin-Siris syndrome, which often have feeding difficulties. And yeah, that was one situation where they had put the tube location in. It was right on his rib cage. And doctors at CHOP despised it. And they said it was a hack job, basically. So they moved it down more central. And as of today, I can say that was a successful surgery. And we were happy for the results of it. Psalms 78, 34, and 35. And when he slew them, and they sought him, and they returned and inquired early after God. Verse 35, key verse. And they remembered that God was their rock and their high God and their redeemer. You know, the children of Israel would always turn from God. And then he had to remind them to come back. And verse 35 is so key. As special needs parents, that verse is dear to me. And they remembered that God was their rock and their high God, their redeemer. And, you know, I think Keith had mentioned that years ago when he shared, you know, having a special needs child. Maybe I'm the type to wander or prone to, but once you have a special needs child, that narrows things down quite a bit in life. You have one choice to make in life, not multiple choices, and that is to trust and follow and obey. Trust being a big one. I omitted a lot of the details of her journey because, for the sake of time, Lee had chronic ear issues as well, and with what I think was a total of 6 sets of ear tubes put in over the course of his life. He also had his adenoids removed. And there again, I remember that was another time in his life where I think God spared his life, and I don't know why. He had his adenoids removed, and I think we were waiting for him outside, and I think they called a red alert, and we didn't know it was our child. And then a while later, one of the surgeons came out, and you could see he was shook, and he just made the comment, "I got paged." And he said, "When I got in there, there was a lot of things going on. I think he was having breathing difficulties and coughing, if I'm not mistaken." And there again, you just drop your head in a situation like that, and you realize how little control you actually have in a situation. There was some humorous events as well. He swallowed a few objects in his life, and that was one where I got a phone call at work and I had to come home immediately. I don't know, he had swallowed something a week prior or something, and then Ruth took him to the hospital. I don't know if he was having problems or... Okay, he wasn't swallowing well. So they did an x-ray, and here in his stomach was a spring to a clothespin. And the doctors, surgeons were highly alarmed. They said that thing has to come out immediately. And they weren't actually going to let her leave the hospital by herself till the phone call was made and the connections were made to do the removal of it, because they weren't going to do it there, but it had to be done. And they weren't going to let somebody go home with an object of that form in their stomach. And I remember getting that phone call at work. I think I was working up in the Montoursville area, and they wanted to do this surgery down at Lancaster General Hospital, which is like 2 hours apart. So yeah, you drop everything, and actually they ended up fishing it out without much difficulty. But in the end, it was somewhat humorous, because I know when I came home from work, like a week prior to the removal, she had told me that he swallowed something at home, and he just kept coughing violently, that she was alarmed. She said, "I was going to call you." And I'm like, "Yeah, I don't know what I would have done." But he seemed to get over it. And in my imagination, swallowing an object of that magnitude, I don't know if I could have accomplished it. But he's one of those fellows that he plays with everything and it goes in his mouth. And then as of about a year and a half ago, I guess, we had another one of those episodes where we detected there was something in his stomach. So we went down to CHOP, Children's Hospital. And here again, we went in thinking they were going to pull out one object, and they ended up pulling two out. He had more things in his stomach than we even envisioned or imagined. The one was a bracelet, a slinky, that the girl that was working with him left him play with it, and pretty soon she couldn't find it, and pretty soon he was having issues with his digestive tract. So we were suspicious, and it just adds excitement, I guess, to your life, unnecessary excitement. And I guess in the end, you do kind of chuckle about it. It is somewhat humorous, but the reality of it is, it can be a life and death situation. But here we are in 2025, and not sure what the future holds. But in conclusion, I wish everyone here to continue on this journey, because I can't imagine this life without pain, challenges, wheelchairs, and you name it. But I believe that heaven is closer now than ever if we faint not. Just to hear those sweet words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Fourth verse of "He Leadeth Me." "And when my task on earth is done, and when by thy grace the victor's won, even death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me." Of course, the chorus, "He leadeth me, he leadeth me by his own right hand," or "by his own hand, he leadeth me, his faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me." And Psalm 78, Verse 39. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. I think God realizes how fragile life actually is. But he does care about our life in fine detail. And so often I find myself not willing to trust or lean into the situation like I should. And we know that all things are in his hand. And if anybody has mastered the whole trust technique, maybe he can come share some tricks with me about it, because I'm still learning.